Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Good night. Yeah, it's good to have fun in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And as last week we finished up right through Ephesians 5, I believe it was roughly 19, and I want to pick up at verse 20, and I'm just going to read all the way down through the rest of the way of that, and let me pull this up. Okay, my tablet just, why is it sometimes when things crash, when you don't want them to crash? So, let's pick up at verse 20. And I want to start with this text first tonight, and then we'll move through the rest of this. Give me my Bible. I was going to read it out of a different version, but let me read verse 20, then I'll jump in and find this. And it says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Father, I thank you tonight for this word. And Father, I pray that, Lord, even so, let us have great revelation of your word around even this text and passage that Father, that you give us as an example of husbands and wives, but also a picture of the glorious church, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, tonight for just family also, Father. I thank you that, Lord, you're the one that authored family. You're the one that set up family. And so, Father, may we come to a clear revelation and understanding, Father, of how we're called to operate as believers, as Christians, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's look at Ephesians 5:22. And Pastor Marina, I'm going to pull from you pretty early in this. So, Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Man, it's a really, you know, I love that the end of this passage it says, "and this being a mystery." "And this being a mystery." Now, you'll see that in two parts, you know, that you'll see that at the very beginning part of this, we're given some instruction. And as we've been in Ephesians, you know, we kind of went through the behaviors. We've been in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5, behaviors, things that we're to walk out, things that we're commanded to do. And now you move into this chapter, really about marriage and you know, really about the church. It kind of holds two meanings. But, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about first is the importance of submission. And because, you know, I'll say this, you know, when you hear this passage of Scripture read, or when you read this passage, how does it make you feel? How does it make you feel? Like, how does it, how do you, like, when you think about this, you think, how does this make you feel? Let me just leave that thought with you for a second. Because, you know, even this one word called submission, man, it's a tough word, right? It's a tough word in a culture that says, well, submission is this, submission is that. And we have this picture, or we have this idea that submission means that somebody's ruling over me. Someone is Lord over me. And you know, Pastor Marion, why don't you just jump in? Because I think even just given the instruction around the context of this scripture, wife submitting to her husband, and as we studied this out a little bit ago, just some of the things that, even around the scriptures and the meaning of that. So you want to jump in? You can come up here if you'd like. Would you rather sit down?
I don't care.
Okay.
I think just to start out with, I think it's important, first of all, I know not everyone is married in here, but don't disregard this message, because there's a lot of people that desire to be married in the future in here. And the more that you can take away before you actually get married and grow in the foundation of things, the better, so that you'll be more equipped and set up for marriage. So don't, you know, don't disregard, you know, oh, this has to do with married couples. The more that we learn at the beginning of something, the better off we'll be in choosing a spouse or choosing that person that we're committing ourselves to for the rest of our lives. But understanding, first of all, you know, that idea of submit, and if it makes, and I know I'm talking a lot to the women when I say this, because this very word can oftentimes make you cringe. And if you automatically feel cringed about it, then you're probably seeing it from the wrong angle. And you're probably not had a good experience or a godly experience around it. And so I do want you to stop for a moment and just kind of open yourself up to the understanding that if God's ways are good, then we can understand that anything that he has for us is good, and his ways are always perfect. And if we will understand from his perspective how something is supposed to be, then we know that he is going to protect us and keep us. And so his ways, you tell me to come up here and talk, and then you just distract the whole time.
I'm not trying to. Go ahead.
So wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And so if you're in a relationship, if you are in a marriage, and you have the opportunity to be able to have a husband that loves, this whole thing goes full circle. Love and respect, submission. Submission is not a hard thing whenever that person loves you and shows love in the manner of Christ in the way that they're supposed to. So that's why it's so important from the beginning to find that person that has the love of Christ in their heart. And that's why it's so important that they are a Christian, because if they are not coming from a Christian standpoint, they're going to understand love from a world's point of view, or from a place of their own definition of love, which is going to be so far outside of the things of God. And so it's important, first of all, that we understand that we need to find someone that loves the Lord. Whether you're a male, female, finding that person that loves the Lord first and foremost is important.
Let me just add to just even in verse 20 that you know, giving thanks always for all these things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of the Lord. And I want to say that it's important that you understand that my relationships with people, I always have to take back to God. That includes my wife. That submitting to one another. It doesn't say that my wife just submits to me. It's that we do this together. That there's a unity. There's a bond in the marriage. And why do I do this? Why do I have this mindset? Is because that's the mindset of Christ Jesus. And we'll talk more about that here in a second. Because even just what man is commissioned to do and what he's being shown in scriptures here is very profound, and it's there's a real depth to it. But it's important that we understand that the reason we do this, not because it's not because I in my own self am good enough or I'm in control, but I do this as a believer. I'm talking to Christians tonight, because the world's going to have a completely different definition of this. But as a standard, this is the standard that I submit to. There's a submitting of one another because of your love for God. Amen. So go ahead. You just want to move into verse 22?
Well, let me say this first. I remember when we first got married, like this was our first year of marriage, and we were actually doing a devotion, and it was from, I believe it was from James Dobson, and we were going down the road, and it was, I don't know, like on page 4 or something like that. It was in the beginning of the book, you know, and of course, you're starting your marriage out, you're doing devotions together, and from the very beginning, they're going to hit this scripture, and of course, wives is mentioned first, so they're going to hit that one first. Wives, submit to your husbands, and it had nothing in there about, you know, husbands love their wives, because we were hitting the wives first, and I'm sure husbands was going to be on a different day, but it, me and my young mind and my youthfulness, and not understanding the context of how God wanted this to be, I was already like inside, I was like, you know, because I'm thinking, here we are going into this marriage and it's going to be one of those things, a dominating, you know, submit woman kind of thing. And I was already done with that book. I was like, let's do a different one.
And I'm like, no, let's do this one, because this is important that you learn how to submit, wife. I mean, because that's in the Bible, right? Because that's what guys, they have, it's in the Bible that this is what you should do. But, you know, we're missing it right from that very part, you know, very part. Just even another quick.
We picked that book back up for a while.
We did, though. We finished it. It was a devotion book. But you know what was interesting? Because even in our first few years of marriage, I would say that Miranda, not first few years, but the first few weeks, months even, one of the things she thought that her role to be a submissive wife was that when I got home from work, the house was neat, everything was cleaned, there was dinner. Now there's nothing wrong with that. I mean that could be something. Yeah. That's something that's worked out between the couple. That might be a responsibility. But I could tell when I came home, it was like, you know, there was like, I would come in as a guy, right? I would come in and throw my jacket, kick my shoes off, throw my stuff, my book bag all over the place, and Miranda had clean house all day, right? And you know, and so like there's this underlying tension. There's this stuff that's taking place I know nothing about, because I'm done for the day. That's where my mind is resting. I'm done for the day. But I realized very quickly, you know, after my wife was like, hey, you know, you should just take this over here and go put it, hang your coat up. You know, that's, you know, we're still working on stuff. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But let me paint this picture for you. This is always, this is the thing. You're always going to be working at it. You know, we're not just arriving. We're always going to be in this place of where we're working on it. So, but we sat down and we talked and I said, you know, my expectation isn't, you know, that you have a meal necessarily on the table when I get home. And You know, I know you're studying for college, and I know you're doing this, and I know you're doing that. And so it was like, even early on, it was like ways that we kind of just begin to communicate and figure out, you know, how to cohabitate, right? I mean, anybody that's been married, I mean, it's like you're moving into this place where you're figuring a lot of things out early on, and, you know, all that. So go ahead.
But we were married.
But we were married, yeah.
Not just cohabitating.
We weren't cohabitating, amen. But we were living in a marriage, in a married relationship, praise God. Go ahead.
For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And you know, God's giving us an example here that Christ is the head of the church and we are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And Christ even submitted himself to the things of God. You know, he submitted himself to the will and to the plan of God, coming to earth, laying down his life. He sacrificed his will, his life, and gave himself on the cross for the purpose of what? Bringing a bride back. That's how much he loved the church. That's how much he loved his bride. And of course, it takes us right into that next example. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And I think a lot of times, you know, people can look at that verse and go, oh, but yeah, I love my wife. I'd lay my life down for her if I needed to do that. You know, I'd fight somebody if they came in. But loving your wife is not just taking a bullet for her if that was what the case was someday. Loving your wife is every day. Loving, I mean, you look at Jesus Christ. He came to do what? To serve. To serve. It wasn't just a one and done. All right, I did my part. I went to the cross. Now, you guys, I took lashes on my back. That 24 hours was gruesome and it was difficult and I did my part. And now he came and he served. He was a servant. And so understanding, like, the love is not just a one-time thing where you'd say, yeah, I'd give my life up if I had to, but it's an everyday love. And when that happens, then there's not an issue. That cycle of love and submission, love and submission, is not a difficult thing. Now, it doesn't mean that we're always in agreement on everything. And that's the thing. It doesn't mean that we always think with the same thoughts. In fact, it's very much the opposite at times. I mean, it's not like he goes and does his work at another office and, you know, I'm doing my work and we have two different visions. No, we work at the same vision because we co-pastor a church. And so we're working in the same field, the same area every single day. It's not like we come together at the end of the day and I go, honey, how was your day? What happened with your day? And he goes, oh, and what did you do today? It's not like that. Like, we're constantly having to make decisions together. Minister Mara has seen many times us have to, you know, talk some things through, but ultimately the end decision is his. But the thing I want to stress is the fact that he loves me enough to hear what I have to say, and he honors my thoughts, he honors my opinions. So it's not difficult for me to submit when he has a love in his heart to hear, what is it that you think about this? I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your opinions on it. And then ultimately, he makes the final call. Many times there are people that say, hey, what do you want done on Sunday for this, or what happens here? And I always say, let me check with Pastor Brad. Because he's the one that makes the final call on things. And so it's not like, you know, I'm doing it over minute things at the house. We understand that there's certain things that he doesn't care if I make decisions on. But when it comes to the more intricate or the more things that have to do with the leading of the church and things like that, I'm always going, let me check with Pastor Brad. Because it's his final decision to make, and it rests on him.
I would just say, you know, when we begin to understand the structure and order of what God's designed, there's less of a fight. It's you know, that we're not putting ourselves in position where we're fighting for, I'm fighting for my right as a husband, or she's fighting for her right as the wife. But there's an equalness. There is a you know, and I, you can look, there's a variety of different scriptures that we could look at, but when you think about the equalness, you know, that we have in the Lord, the Bible says that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, right? So there's an equalness. So it doesn't mean that she gets a different Holy Spirit than me, right? So it's important that we understand, because I would say, even as we kind of breach this topic today, one of the things that you realize in our culture, in Appalachian culture, because I honestly, like, this was a passage of scripture that I struggled with because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the nature of how God really wanted me to be as a husband, because I got hung up on wife submit. And you can't get hung up on what her role is when you're not willing to look at what your role is. Does that make sense? Because you have to see that we're both playing parts, you know, equally. It's not like my role. I don't know. I mean, I think even, you know, we was listening to something earlier, and I believe the role or the responsibility of the guy here is, honestly, it's greater, men. It's, you know, as to do and to be as Christ was and what he came to earth to do, that's the role we play as men. In our homes, in our marriages, and, you know, so it's not. I mean, there. You know, he's stressing three major points, even out of what men should be and what men should do. And you know, even what he says, even at first, he said, you know, husbands love. That word love is agape. That word agape. It's agape is.
Well. If you take it back to the original, it's a selfless sacrificial love. And so it's a love that lays down. It's not based on a friendship love, and it's not based upon a physical love. It's based upon a selfless love. That in fact, going back to the original word, it's a love that will give even when it's not reciprocated.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's the thing. It's an amazing thing. And as Pastor Brad says, the men have a larger duty here, really, because this, what he's called to do, and if you look at these verses down through here, Paul's really emphasizing the love that the man is to have and what he's supposed to do for the bride. And the fact that he's to carry this concept of not just loving her physically, but there's a spiritual responsibility. And this spiritual responsibility carries a heavy role.
Yeah.
And you know, we were talking earlier about how, and men, you single men, like, listen to me for a second, because this will impact you so much. Not just singles, but married too. But if you are looking for a wife, you have to be.
If you're married, don't be looking for a wife. Get all the married people get an amen here. You're married. Stay married.
Don't be looking for a wife.
Yeah, praise God.
But if you are desiring a wife as a single man, understand that she's not a godly wife. If you're wanting a godly wife, she's not just looking at the physique. She wants someone that can lead her spiritually.
Now, I'm talking. That's a godly Christian woman too, though, okay? Because there are women out here just looking for whatever. So anyway, go ahead.
I said that.
Okay.
If you're looking
just
for
a godly woman.
Yes. A godly woman is not going to put 100% on the physique of someone. She wants someone that is a godly spiritual man and knows how to lead spiritually. That he's going to not just be a provider and protector, but he's going to be a spiritual provider and protector. So if you don't lead in these areas, even if she finds you attractive, let me explain this. If she finds you attractive and yay, you did it, and you propose, and she says yes, but you get so far into the marriage, you know what's going to happen? If you don't lead in the areas that you're supposed to lead in, she will step into those roles because she has to raise her children up, because if she's a godly woman and she wants her children raised in the ways of the Lord, she'll do it herself. Hopefully. But the thing is, the more she has to step into the role of leading the home spiritually and leading them to church spiritually and leading them in prayer spiritually, well, then guess what? She gets stronger spiritually, and then the guy drags behind and then wonders, well, I don't want to step into it now because I feel insecure. And if she goes to church and she does it alone, she gets spiritually stronger. And then she steps into that role more, which is less of what you technically want as a male, because you want to be the one leading. So it's best if you understand that from the beginning and you lead your family in prayer, you lead them in devotion, you lead them in spirituality, you lead them in protection. That means listen to the Lord. If the Lord's telling you, and I'm not saying the Lord will never speak to the wives, he will. because there's discernment that she has too. But there are times when if he's speaking to you, don't be so busy with things that you miss that, oh, your kids are getting attacked or something's going on in the home and you're missing it because you're so busy being the breadwinner and you're focusing on that provision and you're not providing spiritually in the home.
Yeah, and I think even just to stress that, because I think sometimes culturally one of the things that we hear, men should work, absolutely, 100%. Men should work. You know, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So, I mean, paraphrasing, but so men should work. So you have that, but we think, and you know, and I think even growing up in the culture that I grew up in, the expectation coming from a lot of men were, I went to work, I work my 8, 10, 12 hours a day, I've done all that I know to do. And I'll say this, know to do. Because, you know, one of the things that people don't, they don't teach spiritual responsibility. You know, they'll teach the physical, you know, yeah, you should work. You work hard and you make a good living. And anybody grow up like that? Because I grew up that way. I grew up, you work hard, you care for your family. That is a role. That is an absolute 100% role that you should play as a husband and as a father and as the spiritual headship. But you have to understand that spiritual component is just as important. It's just as important that you're leading your family or leading from that viewpoint or standpoint. It's critical, and I know even this text. I mean, it's one of the things that you're seeing. It's like Paul's saying, look, you've got to lead spiritually. You've got to lead in this place of where, you know, just as how Christ led the church, husband, man. This is the mindset that you have to have. And it's not, these aren't small things. These aren't small things. And so, you know, even as you're, even if, you know, you're looking or you're in a marriage or you're in a relationship, don't forgo the spiritual side of things. Don't forgo. You may say, maybe I didn't pray as much as I should. Start now. Like, make time. Carve off time. Do things now. Begin to put things in motion now. You guys understand, you can't live back here. We could all sit here and say, "Ah, man, if I'd have done this then," or we can't live back here. There are places where I missed it back here, but now I step into. Okay, I'm putting the helm of salvation on. I'm putting it on. I'm strapping myself in. I'm taking this step, or I'm doing it now. We do it now. Amen. So you know, you can't look back and beat yourself up and do all that stuff. That's not what we're talking about. You position yourself now. How do I have this in my family? You know, if I'm getting married, what things am I developing right now in my life as a man that's going to be attractive? That's going to be attractive. You know, am I right, females, that's what females are looking for? You're looking for someone strong? I mean, I've had females say, man, I feel stronger spiritually than some of the guys that I've been out with. And you know, and I tell you that, you know, even in our generation, you know, men have moved into a role where they'll be passive and let women lead. God's not calling men to be just passive and you just lay back. That's, you have a role. There's a role that the scripture, the word of God, has given us. Look, you have to be. This is what you're called to be. So it's not to be passive and just let the women, you know, she takes the kids to church, you know, she does all. No. You have a role to play. And I realized that very early on, you know, and it didn't take me very long to figure out, you know, when Miranda made that decision that first day, many of you heard that story. I was still in bed. She was like, I'm going to church. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll be with you in a second. You know, just kind of ho-humming. You know, I was up playing Xbox late that night and, you know, till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and She's out the door. You know, we only got one car, so, you know, I'm not walking to church. You know, I just stayed at home. You know, I was saved, but I was a new Christian.
Yeah, this wasn't last year.
This wasn't last year, no. So you know, and I realized something. But it took me beginning to read the Word and press into the Word of God and understanding the Word of God. And you know, there's been so many points in times where, like, I would study the Word and come upon Ephesians 5, and I'd be like, you know, wife, submit to your husband, and I'm, you know, and you could feel this little thing rise up inside you, and then I would keep reading on, and I'm like, oh, oh, the role that I have, the role that I have to play in this. And so, and that's the whole thing about the equalness of this, that we both play a part in the relationship. We both play a part in the marriage, and it's a very beautiful thing. But we do this, why? Because we love God and we fear God. Amen. We're not trying to trump one another. We're not trying to outdo one another. That's not what a marriage is about. It's not about me being better than her, or her being better than me, or that's not what it's about. But it is for us men to realize, man, we can't take a back seat. We can't be passive. You know, I remember one of the first men's event I did, you know, and I remember talking to the men, not here, but another place. I was like, you know what, guys, listen, if you want your kids to raise their hands in church, you raise your hands. If you want your kids to praise Jesus, they need to see you praising Jesus. If you want your kids to demonstrate godly behavior, then you demonstrate godly behavior. You don't get in the truck, you know, you don't get put your kids in the car and drive down the road and talk about everybody else. Why? Because your kids are going to do that. So you demonstrate godly character and godly behavior every step of the way. And you take those moments, you think, man, these are teachable moments. These are times when you spend with your kids. These are things that you do that you can help strengthen them. Amen. Amen. You taking notes?
Yeah.
Okay, good job. This is, guys, everybody all right? All right, you guys understand, this is important stuff to cover in church. I mean, there are people in here that want to get married. There are people that are desiring relationships. And I'll venture to say, there's nobody in here that isn't married that doesn't want a better, stronger marriage. Can I get an amen from the married? Yeah, I mean, amen. I do. I mean, you know, we're sitting even today going through some of this stuff, and it's like, man, we can get better. We can be stronger. We can do this. Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
I think this is, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is so important to keep in front of you. Marriage is not for your happiness.
Oh, come on, Miranda.
Marriage is a picture of sacrifice. Every time you read scripture about marriage, it never once says something about, well, you know, get married because it's going to bring you happiness and make sure that, you know, everything is about you and you are fulfilled. Like, it never says anything about that. Marriage is about, look here, the women are to submit, the husbands are to love, the women are to respect. There is a give, there is a sacrifice. It is a picture of the sacrifice of Christ. And that's why he's saying this is a mystery, because it this idea of the union of marriage has everything to do with the picture of what Christ did for the bride, and then what the bride does, because the bride does follow the master and is there to help the master complete the vision. That's what the body of Christ does. So when we gather together, that's why we are always looking to plug people into serving in some role, some capacity. It's to fulfill their purpose for the husband, Christ, for the vision of him. And that's why, even as Pastor Brad said in the beginning, it's not about his rights or my rights. You know, most of our conversations have to do with what is best for the body of Christ. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with what's best for the body of Christ. What is best for the people that we're serving. It's not about what I want, and it's not about what he wants. It's about what do we do? How do we move forward? How do we take the church to a new level? How do we minister better? How do we encourage the body of Christ to go to another level? How do we, you know, build them into greater leaders? How do we cause them to have greater impact, to live in a more victorious level, in a more victorious state? So our conversations are not about, well, it's my right, and when are you going to listen to me, and when are you going to hear what I'm saying? It's about what is best for the body, what is best for the church, what is best moving forward so that the influence of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God can have an impact here on this area.
Let's just keep reading here because, you know, never mind. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or with anything such, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. But he who loves his wife loves himself. Wow. For no one ever has hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And I want to say this even to the men. You know, if you're married or you plan to be married, you can never find your validation in your spouse. And what I mean, now not that she can't validate things in my life or encourage or build or do those things. My true validation comes from God. He's the validator, okay? He's the one that validates. He's the one, you know, if I'm looking for, you know, Miranda's approval, let me just use this as an example. The Lord told me that we were going to be moving the church, like we were going to be going to a bigger location. And I'm like, and there's a lot of things that have had to happen for us to even get to this point. But if I would have waited and said, you know, I've got to wait and get Miranda's approval on that, you know, things would have not been done 4 and 5 months ago that needed to be done. I got to wait and get, you know. So there are things that you go to the Lord in. Amen. My validation, though, doesn't come from her. I'm not waiting. You want to jump in? I don't know if I'm. Am I making sense? Does that make sense?
Your identity. My identity. Your confidence, that's a better word. Is not based upon and should not be based upon her or his opinion of you.
Right.
Because if you're going to be disappointed every time if that's the case. If she's busy with her own stuff that day and doesn't give you the validation that you need, then what happens?
You come in with
your
lip out.
You're discouraged for the day and then you're frustrated.
She doesn't love me.
She didn't give you, the pep talk that you needed, the pat on the back that you needed for that day for some reason. You cannot find your validation. And that's for women too. You have to understand that your confidence has to come through Christ. Because otherwise you're always going to be disappointed. You're always going to be looking to the other person to fulfill you. And their response and their mood, it will dictate how you feel for that day. And of course, that's good information. A lot of this stuff you can take to work with you. I mean, this isn't just marriage stuff, but if you're waiting for your boss to validate everything, if you're waiting for your friends to validate everything, and your mood is always dependent upon, you know, everybody else's stuff or their confidence in you, then you're gonna struggle. But if your confidence is based upon him and who he is, and your identity is based upon who he says that you are, then you're going to be able to make decisions decisively because you're hearing from him, not because you're going to your five favorite friends and going, well, what do you think I should do? Well, what do you think I should do? Well, what do you think? And three of them said this and two of them said that. How much are you going to be pulled between those things? Three said this, but two said this. And you're hear from the Lord what you're to do and gain your confidence in him.
Yeah, have friends that will pray with you. Not, you know, honestly, I mean, it's important. Have friends that will pray with you in decisions. Have friends that will come around something for you, you know, and allow the Lord, honestly, to move you and speak to you. He will. And, you know, especially about who you're to marry, about relationships you're supposed to be in. He'll do that. He literally will speak to you about that. And he'll check you on things that you need to be checked on. Pay attention to that stuff. And, you know, I'll say this because you're always working to figure things out. And in a marriage, I mean, you know, I bring up the validation thing because even you learn to understand these roles. You learn to understand because I used to think, well, if Miranda wasn't, like, behind me or wasn't validating an idea, I could maybe take it personal. I could be like, well, you know. She might not be, it might not even be a personal thing. She just has no comment. And I'm like, well, she's not on board because she doesn't really have anything to say. And you see how misguided that can get because now your emotions are attached to that person's, you know, feelings about this or that. And so you know, it's important that you pay attention to that. But, you know, God will help you even in the marriage and in the relationship work through these things. But, you know, always be open and have a willingness to be able to come to discussions and talk about things. It's important. We've had a lot of marriage discussions over the years, you know. Some Some we had to take a time out. Amen. You know, got into it, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, thought we had things figured out, and, you know, let's just take a break. Let's come back and revisit this later on, you know, and you do that in a marriage. Amen.
And ladies, if a decision isn't going the way you want it, like, you have to understand that the Lord's going, if you're truly seeking the Lord, you have to trust. You have to trust that God is going to cover things for you. And so even if someone is leading and they're choosing to lead in another way and you're like, man, I don't feel like this is the way we're supposed to go, you've got to trust in God. So it's, think about it this way. If this is my whole life before me and God, am I not trusting him? And if my trust is completely in a person, is God not big enough to keep me from harm? So I've got to put my trust in the Lord. He is my covering. So even if you're not in total agreement with something, you still have to, he's going to honor the fact that you're honoring his word. So honor his word and find a peace in his word. Now, I'm not saying to go outside of the Lord's word on things. It's just, it doesn't, if the Lord tells you to do something specifically in his word, you know, that you're not to go against, he's the ultimate say in everything. It's the same thing with the authorities of the land. If the authorities say, oh, you're going to bow down to this statue now, you're going to say, no, I'm going to honor the word of the Lord. You understand that. But I'm talking about things that don't have anything to do with a sinful nature. So just to clear that up.
And just to add this part, because, you know, when he refers to the washing of the water of the word, men, you pray for your wife, pray for your children. You know, if you don't have kids and you desire to have kids, you pray over those kids. We begin praying over our kids very, very little. And I admit, you know, you got, some of you are doing that. I have done that. But what's that?
When they were little.
Yeah, when they were little. You know, future husbands, future wives, future dreams, future visions, you know, the calling of God to be on their life, that they would always serve God, that they would always love God, put God first. I mean, you know, so, you know, that's that washing of the word over your family. I mean, when can you do that? Anytime. So it's important to always, husbands, you know, do that. You know, I just, let me touch on this because, you know, in our, you know, guys, I know what the divorce rate is in the church. Anybody venture to say? 60%? What's that? No, church, any religious organization. Same as the world. Isn't that crazy? That roughly, that in the church, the divorce rate is about the same. Now, there's been times in this nation, and you know, we are part of some initiatives back several years ago where there was a change, there was a shift, because coming from the White House, coming from our government, was a push to talk about marriage, to really go after it. And I believe that's going to happen again in this nation. But the reason I say this is because, you know, women have had to assume some major roles. Women have had to assume. You know, we listened to a story just a few minutes ago, just coming here, and, you know, a lady was raised by a single mother who had 3 jobs. And she was talking about how one of her jobs, she had to ride a bike in the winter just to get to her second job. She ended up and graduated with a law degree. I thought about Amanda's mom, because Amanda's mom's got a law degree. But how she worked, and she did it. She did it. And, you know, and that daughter's testimony was, well, just because of what I've seen, you know, I'm never going to be this way. I'm never going to allow these kind of things to hold me down and hold me back. And so she developed a very worldly mindset, and, you know, she realized that in developing a worldly mindset, it wasn't a godly mindset. So she had to begin to examine the scriptures to see what the word of God said and how the word of God could transform her thinking. You know, not everybody comes into salvation, you know, in a family that's just saved. Some of you maybe didn't get saved till later on. Some of you maybe recently newly saved. And it's like, you know, all this stuff's new. Maybe you had a mother that raised you, took you to church, did all those things. Man, be thankful that somebody was willing to do that. Amen? Be thankful that somebody was willing to do that. But I say all this, even in that, just to our trust and our foundation in God is so critical and so important. And we can't allow what we've been through, what's happened, to determine how we see or view God's word, of how women should be in a relationship and how men should be in a relationship. I heard Joyce Meyer say, she's like, I had major trust issues. There was no guy going to treat me like my father treated me. Many of you guys know she was abused, but there's no way. And then, she was married, divorced, and then married Dave. And, and if you've ever listened to her testimonies and talks around her husband and how their relationship is now, it's profound. But, but God is always wanting to, he's always wanting us to get into his word to figure these things out. Amen.
They're a great example. I mean, you take a woman that's very strong, a very strong woman, but he's a very strong man, but he's quiet. And so the understanding that it's not about, walking around with a puffed out chest. That's, in fact, the opposite. And learning to lead, not dominate.
Yeah, it's good.
Learning to lead, not dominate. Leading is showing by example, humility, love, joy, the spiritual walk, being a provider, keeping your calm and not, blowing up, leading by example and taking those moments to teach and to show. And that's why it says later, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Teach them in the ways of the Lord. Admonish them in the ways of the Lord. And so there, it's such an instrumental part of what fathers are supposed to do. Not dominating, not as a tyrant, but leading by example and showing them the path that they're to go on. And because of that, Dave was able to lead her, even though she's got a strong personality, very strong woman, had to be strong. And many of you in here are like that. You've had to be strong. You've had to be a strong woman. But the thing is, that strength can still, she's fulfilling the vision that God called her to fulfill, but he's still the head of their home. And he actually helps her with the ministry. But there's no question to either one of them who leads the home. You understand? Like, we work together in ministry and fulfill vision together, and we're an asset to one another, to come alongside one another and encourage and to be able to strengthen that so we can do more. But he leads the home, and he leads the church. So we understand the roles, but it doesn't mean that a wife has to just sit down and be, church mouse. She can be strong. The thing is, a man is actually a man that leads a strong woman, and they do it correctly. They are strong than someone that doesn't know how to lead someone strong, and they cower back because they're insecure about it. That's why it's so important to become whole. Because if you try to find your validation again through the things that's never going to give you validation, that's why it can end up looking a mess. If not, you've got to understand who you are in Christ so that you can be strong and restored and lead well.
Yeah, I know. In Ephesians 5:31, it says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This is a great mystery, the Bible says, but it's spiritual oneness. That, it is that different, right? You all know men and women are not the same, right? We know that, right? Well, I mean, biologically, we know that. In America, sorry for what they've screwed up the last 4 years, but we know that men and women are very different. Different, but equal parts to play. And I would venture to say that the husband, he does. He has a greater responsibility in the role of the family. but that they would become one flesh. You know, together, oneness. That's the picture. That is the picture of marriage. I don't know if anybody has any questions. Trying to figure out how to land this tonight, but there's a lot that you can teach out of the passages of Scripture here. And I mean, you can get into a lot of, you know, there are a lot of books. There's a lot of things that you can read, and there's a lot of things that I'll be honest with you that I wouldn't read. I mean, you know, I've been to Christian conferences, and I've walked into Christian meetings with Christian leaders, and I've walked right back out because they were teaching things that were not biblically true. I mean, we don't have any. I was in one class listening to a Christian speaker tell couples in the room that pornography was okay. And you know what we did? Many of us just got up and walked out. That in a healthy way, this could be a good thing for your marriage. And then we walked into Mark Gunger's room, and he was flipping a lid. You guys remember Mark Gunger? He had snapped and lost it in a meeting, and he was like calling out everybody in the meeting and calling things that this is of the devil. And Miranda and I were like, we were in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, getting ready to take off. And we walked into this, and Mark Gunger was going off. He was calling out people by name. He was calling people out. I'll never come back to this conference again because this stuff's, you know. And so marriage is important to God. It's an important virtue. It's an important thing. Those desiring marriage, I mean, desire healthy marriage. Amen? Desire the wholeness in marriage. Do you come into it with all revelation? No. That's the good news. You think, is that good news? Yeah, because you know what? Just think about it. If I come in knowing everything that I needed to know, what fun would that be? If I knew everything about her, I knew, you know, what you know, we would there would be no fun in dating. There would be no fun in the courtship. There would be no fun 27 years now in the marriage. You know, if I just knew everything, right? So it's not about just knowing everything or figuring everything out. It's spiritual oneness. It's a coming together. And marriage is a beautiful thing. God ordained it. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful. You know, we need to teach around marriage, and we need to have talks like this, I know. But even tonight, does anybody have, like, you know, a marriage question, or you have anything that you say, hey, something maybe you've heard. I don't know. Comment. Anything you would like to ask? Do we scare everybody tonight? Do we scare everybody? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Don't find yourself in positions of dating if you're not really truly thinking about marriage. You'll waste valuable time. You'll waste valuable time.
Well, what happens with dating just to date is your heartstrings get attached to someone that they shouldn't be getting attached to. If you're dating with the prospect of no marriage and you're just dating to date because, oh, they're pretty and then we'll just figure it out along the way, and then next thing you know you're engaged to somebody that's not even a Christian or doesn't regard Christian things very highly at all, and then you're not even in equally yoked, and you're not going to, you might fly along for a little while on the emotions, but that's not going to be fun when you get married, and then you gotta pull that person along with you. So understand, it will catch up if you end up being yoked to that person, and you're not equally yoked, or it's not who God has for you. And then you gotta live with the consequences. So don't play around with something that you're not serious about to begin with. They need to have the same values as you.
It's a subject very dear to me. I remember we used to teach a lot of this in high schools, and I'm going to close with this, but you know, after I'd counseled, and I didn't personally counsel, but with teachers counseled teenagers that that, you know, thought they met the love of their life in high school, and they dated, and several that got pregnant. You know, I'm not against teenage pregnancy. Goodness, I mean, we at times put resources. I mean, I had a girl that worked for me. She got pregnant when she's 13. She's saved, has a wonderful husband. She has two precious kids, 13 years old. That's young, right? We know that. And she was a part of our program, and we would use her, and she would go and teach in schools. And I'll never forget the first time she gave her testimony. God, you know, God restores and God redeemed, but, you know, she had goosebumps on her calves and on her ankles as she shared the testimony of what God had done and how God had redeemed her, but she was very, very real with how difficult that decision was at 13. You know, she made a decision to keep the child. That to me is a big deal. But you know, the whole, in our culture today, you know, sex is the thing. Sex is a thing. Don't fall victim. Don't fall prey to, you know, if you love me, women, hear that. If you love me, you'll do this. You know, if you love me, you'll do that. You know, don't fall prey to that. You know, do it God's way. Do it God's way. You know, I you know, there's so much I could say around it, but do it God's way, because God's way is a better way. Amen. His way is a better way. I used to teach a lot of this in high school, so it's you know, that whole dating is a big deal, because, you know, it's a big deal. Nobody has questions. Praise God. Well, we got maybe just a little bit of Ephesians 6 next week, and we'll finish that up, because I feel like the two things out of Ephesians 6, we'll talk about that next week as well, and then we'll finish up the book of Ephesians. But you know, let me give you this. Singles, ask questions to people that are married. Look at people that have healthy marriages. Talk to them. Ask them questions. You know, that's important. Talk to them and say, hey, you know, you've been married 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. You know, I remember sitting down with somebody that was married for 50 years and asking them, so what, how's this been? How did it go? Ask questions. Amen. Praise God. Let's close. Amen. Everybody happy? I'm happy. Praise God. Let's close. Father, thank you tonight.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.